I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember with Explorations in VOA Special English. The 1960s were exciting times in space exploration. Today we look back at the first flights of the Apollo program designed to land humans on the moon.
The decision to go to the moon was made in May 1961. President John Kennedy set the goal in a speech to Congress and the American people.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth. No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important for the long-range exploration of space, and none will be so difficult or expensive to accomplish.
At the time President Kennedy first spoke about landing humans on the moon, the Soviet space program seemed far ahead. The Soviet Union had put the first satellite into Earth orbit. A Soviet spacecraft was the first to land instruments on the moon. And a Soviet cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, was the first man in space. The United States had sent an astronaut of its own into space for the first time in 1961. Alan Shepard made only a 15-minute flight in the little one-man Mercury spacecraft. But his flight gave Americans the feeling that the United States could pull ahead of the Soviet Union in the space race. There was great public support for President Kennedy's moon landing goal, and Congress was ready to spend the thousands of millions of dollars that a moon landing program would cost.
Much happened in the months after America decided to go to the moon. New space flight centers were built. Designs for launch rockets and spacecraft were agreed on. And a new space flight program, Project Gemini, was begun. Flights in the two-man Gemini spacecraft tested the men, equipment, and methods to be used in the Apollo program to the moon. Gemini let astronauts learn about the dangers of radiation and the effects of being weightless during long flights. Astronauts learned to move their spacecraft into different orbits and to join with other spacecraft.
While the Gemini program prepared astronauts for Apollo flights, NASA engineers were designing and building the Apollo spacecraft. It was really two spacecraft. One was a cone-shaped command module. The astronauts would ride to the moon in the command module, and they would return home in it. The second craft was a moon landing vehicle. Two astronauts would ride in it from the orbiting command module to the moon's surface. Later, the landing vehicle would carry them back to the command module for the return trip to Earth.
Engineers also were working on a huge new rocket for Apollo. It needed much more power than the rockets used to launch the one-man Mercury and the two-man Gemini flights. The Apollo rocket was called Saturn. Two Saturn rocket systems were built. One was the Saturn 1B. It did not have enough power to reach the moon, but it could launch Apollo spacecraft on test flights around the Earth. The other was the Saturn V. It would be the one to launch astronauts to the moon. Saturn 1B rockets launched 6 unmanned Apollo spacecraft. The test flight showed that all the rocket engines worked successfully. They also showed that the Apollo spacecraft could survive the launch and could re-enter Earth's atmosphere safely.
By the end of 1966, NASA officials considered the Apollo spacecraft ready for test flights by astronauts. 3 astronauts were named for the first manned Apollo test flight: Virgil Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee. 4 weeks before the flight, the 3 men were in the command module at Cape Kennedy, Florida. They were testing equipment for the flight. Suddenly, fire broke out in the spacecraft. When rescuers got the door open, they found the flames had killed the 3 astronauts. Grissom, White, and Chaffee were the first Americans to die in the space program.
Engineers redesigned and rebuilt the Apollo command module. They designed a new door that could be opened more quickly. They improved the electrical wiring, and they used only materials that would not burn easily. By November 1967, the moon launch rocket Saturn V was ready for a test flight. It thundered into space perfectly, pushing an unmanned Apollo spacecraft more than 18,000 kilometers up into the atmosphere.
The huge Saturn rocket, as tall as a 36-floor building, was the heaviest thing ever to leave Earth. It weighed more than 2,700,000 kilograms. The noise of its rockets was one of the loudest man-made sounds ever created. At the end of the test flight, the speed of the Apollo spacecraft was increased to 40,000 kilometers an hour. That was the speed of a spacecraft returning from the moon. The spacecraft re-entered the atmosphere without damage. Apollo Flights 5 and 6 tested the moon landing module and the Saturn V rocket.
Astronauts first flew in the Apollo spacecraft in October 1968. Apollo 7 astronauts Walter Schirra, Walter Cunningham, and Don Eisley spent 11 days orbiting the Earth. They tested the spacecraft systems, and they broadcast, for the first time, live television pictures of men in orbit. Everything worked perfectly.
The successful flight of Apollo 7 led NASA officials to send the next flight, Apollo 8, to the moon. The launch was early on the morning of December 21st, 1968. Millions of people were watching on television. Astronauts Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders were in the spacecraft at the top of the Saturn V rocket. NASA officials counted down the seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The mighty engines fired. Slowly, the giant rocket lifted off the Earth.
3 hours later, NASA officials told the crew that everything was okay for what they called TLI, or translunar injection. This meant the Apollo 8 astronauts could fire the rocket that would send them from Earth orbit toward the moon. Less than 3 days later, Apollo 8 was orbiting the moon. The American spacecraft was just 110 kilometers from its surface. On December 24th, the astronauts made a television broadcast to Earth. They described the moon's surface as a strange, gray, lonely place. And as they talked, people on Earth could see pictures of the moon on their television sets.
And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good Earth.
Apollo 8 returned to Earth without problems. It landed in the Pacific Ocean near a waiting ship.
Apollo 8 showed that humans could travel to the moon and return safely. The next step was to test the lunar landing craft. That was the job of the astronauts of Apollo 9, James McDivitt, David Scott, and Russell Schweikert. They spent 10 days in Earth orbit during March 1969. During the flight, they separated the lunar lander from the command module and flew it for 8 hours. They tested all its systems. Then they joined the two spacecraft together again, just as astronauts would do after a moon landing. Engineers decided that after Apollo 9, one more test flight was needed. They wanted to test the landing module near the moon. So astronauts Tom Stafford, John Young, and Eugene Cernan did that during the flight of Apollo 10.
They reached the moon in May 1969. Astronauts Stafford and Cernan entered the landing craft and separated it from the command ship. Stafford and Cernan flew the lander down to only 13 kilometers from the moon. They described the moon during a radio and television broadcast. "It is like wet clay," they said, "like a dry riverbed in New Mexico or Arizona. It is a beautiful sight." On May 23rd, the lander rejoined the command module 100 kilometers above the moon. Apollo 10 started for home. The final testing was done. Apollo was ready to land on the moon. That will be our story next week.
This program was written by Marilyn Rice Cristiano and produced by Mario Ritter. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. You can find other programs about the American Space Program at our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week as we continue the story of the Apollo space flights on Explorations in VOA Special English.